Even the Dikruach Nefesh of a group of people offered, not Derech HaGiliya Arayit. So the Gemara understands that this is an exception to the rule, that this is Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. That we usually say that Judaism preaches that the ends do not justify the means, but that's not 100% true. The ends always justify the means. It just depends what the ends are and what the means are. What Dikruach Nefesh is Derech HaKola Tarkula. So the ends do justify the means. There are cases where the ends justify the means. There are rules and regulations when you're always faced with conflict. So you always have to make a decision which ends are going to justify which means. Clearly, the ends do justify it. Just it depends which ends and which means. If you want to establish yeshiva, you're going to cheat money, you're going to cheat the United States government, then we say the ends do not justify the means. You're not allowed to steal from Uncle Sam in order to further Harbatsis HaTorah. Those ends do not justify those means. But it depends which ends and which means. So the Gemara has a klal that is not applied that often, that Aveir Lishma is a mutter. One is permitted to do an Aveir Lishma. The Rambam gives us a mashal of Aveir Lishma to understand it. So he says, sometimes if a patient is sick and he has a gangrene in a limb, so the doctor will cut off the limb in order to save the life of the patient. So, Gabal, what's he cutting off his leg for? What did he do that for? He cut off his leg. Yes, what did he cut off his leg? He saved his life. Sometimes the Rambam says that he say that you're allowed to violate the slight avera in order to have a tremendous gain. Tremendous gain doesn't mean to make $1 million. You're not allowed to do an avera in order to make a lot of money, but it means in a ruchniyistic sense. So this needs a lot of yishavada. So that's what she was. Dvorah HaNaviyah was praising Yoy Leishes Chevra Kena, that she made the right decision. The Gemara says it was the correct decision on her part to violate Gilei Arayis in order to save all of Kal Yisrael, in order to save one person. So Gilei Arayis is not Derech. Let's say a Nachri comes to an Eishes Ish and he wants to be Mizana with the woman, otherwise he's going to kill her. So he say that Pikuach Nefesh is not Derech Gilei Arayis. Or the Pizchi Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch has a case like this. The Nachrim are preparing to kill a whole group of Jews, and an Eishes Ish cozies up to one of the Nochrim and she's Mizana with him, and then she saves the whole group of 25 people who are traveling. So that's also not. You say Pikuach Nefesh of the 25 people is not Derech Gilei Arayis either. But if it's the Pikuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, then we consider that the case of Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. That's what the Beis Shmuel and Amasa speaks about, the fact that the Esther, according to the Medrash and the Gemara Megillah, Esther was married to Mordechai. It says, "Batihi lo labasa, afikri labasa lo labayis, abeis zuishto." That she was married to Mordechai. So if Esther was an Eishes Ish, so how was she permitted to be Mizana with Ahasuerus? It was Mamash Gilei Arayis. So the Beis Shmuel said, the Tosfos has that kasha. Tosfos has a whole discussion on that kasha. The Gemara asked a different kasha. It's an Edrut Afayin Dalek. Esther Fahes Yehavoy. But Tosfos asked the kasha, she was married, she was an Eishes Ish. What's Mata the Yisra of Gilei Arayis? So Tosfos has a few answers. So the Beis Shmuel quotes from one of the early Achronim, I think from the Trumas Adeshim, that he thinks the answer was that she did it L'shem Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. That's also an example of Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. This is a question, exactly the details of this Klal Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. And the Shulchan Aruch, they give an example. The Machaber Paskins, like these Rishonim, everybody agrees that there is a principle of Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. It's just the machloik is, what about Chatei Bishvil Sheyiske Chavercha? You say that Chatei Bishvil Shetiske Ato and Ebruch Nisdiki sense, the Gemara is more prepared to apply. What about Chatei Bishvil Sheyiske Chavercha? So the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos says, we don't say that. And there are other Gemaras that seem to contradict it. So the Shulchan Aruch is more lenient in this area. Everybody agrees that there's a principle that the ends do justify the means. The only question is an application. Some professor in Eretz Yisrael just put out, Professor Rakova put out a whole book on this topic, and he quotes all the sources. In every legal system, he works with the Misra Mishpatim. So he says, in every legal system, there is a principle that the ends do justify the means. It's just a question to what extent, which ends, which means, and which. How do you decide which is Muhammad and which? He has a whole book where he collects all the sources from the Talmud. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskin the more lenient position. Machlok is the Rashba and Tosis. The Mechaber Paskin is the more lenient position that you do say, even Chatei Bishvil Sheyiske Chavercha, more often than one might have thought. So they give the example, if a man is told that the Nochrim captured his daughter on Shabbos, and they're going to take her to a Chreisa monastery, whatever. They're going to shmad her up, a young daughter. And if he'll rush today and be Machal Shabbos, if he'll drive over, whatever, try to bribe government officials or whatever, which will involve a lot of Chilul Shabbos, he will be able to save his daughter from shmad. So then you say, yes, you should be Chalel all of Shabbos Achas. We would recommend that the father of the child should be Mechal Shabbos, but even by Melachas Deraisin, in order to save the daughter from Shmata of Arizar. The question is, other cases that are less conspicuous, less obvious than that. There's a case of Shmat, Chilul Shabbos versus Shmat. So you say Chilul Shabbos is the lesser of the, much lesser of the two evils. Yes?
Yeah, I in that scenario,
just
as my faith is, that
not allowed to. The Gemara there is talking, am I allowed to violate an Avera de Rabbanon to save someone else from an Avera de Raisa? One person doing an Avera de Rabbanon to spare someone else from violating an Avera. He already did something which, if I leave it, he put bread in the oven. So if I'm going to leave the bread in the oven, he will be a violation of the Bashal, Ofer B'Shabbos. I have the opportunity to take out his bread from the oven, but it'll be a violation of the Issa de Rabbanon. The Dias HaPas is also the Rabbanon. So should I violate the Issa de Rabbanon in order to save him from the Issa de Raisa? Because if the bread will be removed before Kri Maspan in the Tanur, then it'll turn out that he didn't do any Avera, because he didn't have the Shear. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to violate the Rabbanon to save the other character from Avera de Raisa. But the other character did it amazing. The case happens to be he did it amazing. He knew what he was doing. He knew what it was Shabbos, and he didn't care. So in that case, the Gemara says, you don't say Chatev B'Shvil Sheyizkeh Haver. But then Tais is there, and that Baal Adam and Allah quotes other passages, other Gemaras. What do you do with other Gemaras? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So it's a big issue.
How exactly did the Gal save Klal Yisrael? Sisra's army was already defeated.
That's a good question. I don't know. Somehow the Gemara in Nazir assumes on Daf Chav Gimel that if he would have survived, he would have been such a good general, he would have put together another army. I don't know. That's a very good question. From the Tanakh doesn't give us all the details of the story. The Gemara says that she was praised for her rescue effort. That's also a good question. How much of Klal Yisrael has to be Klal Yisrael? All the people in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael, even if they're the minority. Even if all the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael, even if they're way less than 50% of the world Jewish population. That for sure is called Klal Yisrael. The Chazon Ish has a different way of wording this. He says if the Jewish people would be wiped out, he doesn't say this Chatei B'Shul Shizka. Bishvil Shizkah HaBechav. See, words it, if all the Klal Yisrael would be wiped out, this would constitute a Chil Hashem, that Am Hashem should disappear. So he says, Chil Hashem is worse than Laisinov. Even though Pikuach Nefesh is not Derech HaLaisinov, but Chil Hashem is Derech HaLaisinov. It's a different understanding. But it's usually understood, the Gemara says that it's Aveir Lishma.
So 100% of these people living
Probably not 100% either. You don't need 100%. A major disaster. So to avert a major disaster of Klal Yisrael, that's considered Chatei B'Shul Shizkeh Haver. Yes? I think the first couple of years or whatever, when she originally went, she went to Lashem Pikuach Nefesh, I don't know, and then later she went on her own. The Gemara's answers were that she was forced into it, but then the Pasuk says Kashavarti Avarti, she's going to go on her own, and this time she's going to become Asur Al Baila. The first times that she was living with Ahasuerus is considered Eishasish Enenso. She was in the terrace with Baila, the Gemara says. And then when she went on her own to save Klal Yisrael, then she said, Kasha Avarati Avarati, now I'm going to be Asur Al Baila. So if she knows she's going Beratzen to be Asur Al Baila, so how was she allowed to go? So that's where the Trumas Adeshin steps in.
course, Rabbi Akimar might have lied about the fact she was caught the whole lot in the market. They said that she was passive and therefore it's okay. Why can't you say the same thing about Yael? Because if she was active, why can't she be passive? And it'd be the obvious channel comes in.
The Chazal understand that she initiated the whole thing, like Esther initiated Kashi Avarati Avarati. So the Chazal understand he came and he asked for water. He wasn't interested in fooling around. And she started fooling around with him, with this whole plot to get him sleepy. She gave him the milk and she started fooling around. And then she was mezana with him. Then he fell asleep and then she killed
him.
Probably was Jewish.
Was Jewish.
I think she was. He was former.
So she's descended from Yisrael. That's what it is.
So yeah, that's, I think, how the Gemara understands. Yeah. I think so. Why did she choose such a bizarre form of killing him? Why did she just take a sword and cut off his head? Why did she have to bang the peg into his forehead? Yaseid Barako So. So there's a, the Yalkut Shemayni has a famous comment. Yaseid Barako So. Why such a strange form? So the Yalkut Shemayni says that she didn't want to violate the Leilbash Gevesim Lasisha, that women are not supposed to walk around with pistols. So that's why she chose this bizarre form of killing system. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a true about this. Is that Taka true? He has a granddaughter who lives in Rabbi Tendler's daughter who lives in the West Bank, so to speak, and she walks around with a gun. She walks around with a pistol like other women do. So the shaila was whether it's permissible. Rav Moshe wrote it true. He thinks that it is permissible. The question is, how do you deal with this? With this marriage, why did she have to go out of her way to do such a thing? For pikuach nefesh, she's not allowed. I don't know. Straight. Anyway, Moshe has all tshuva about this topic. In Rav Elbel Sefer HaChumash, she has a comment on the pasuk in the Shiras Devora, Zvula Nam Chera Nam Shalom Uus, that the soldiers put their lives in danger like any soldiers in any war know that they're putting their lives in danger. They know that they may kill the enemy, they may get killed themselves. So that's the definition of a war. They were obligated to put their lives in danger because there was a Shas Mochana. When you go to war, you don't say Pikuach Nefesh is derech in the mitzvah of going to war, otherwise you'll never have any Mochemes mitzvah. You won't have any Mochemes or Rishus either. That's how the Minchas Chinuch has such a comment. Minchas Chinuch writes that although Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaKol HaTarukul except for Avodah Zarah Reis and Shlichas Damim, but it's self understood that Pikuach Nefesh is not Derech the Mitzvah Mochamah, because by definition Mochamah there's always a Sakona. How can you say you only have a mitzvah to wage war whenever there's a mitzvah to wage war when no one's going to get killed? That's ridiculous. You always know that people are going to get killed. I remember years ago when they were pilpiling, I guess now there's no room to pilpil, people were pilpiling about land for peace, about giving away to the Arabs in order to make peace. So some said, the Minchas Chinuch says that you have to wage war even if people are going to lose their lives. And Rav Lezer Shach said no, and Rav Soloveitchik said no, that the Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaKol HaTarukula. So someone made a comment, well, it's a machlek, is the Galatiana and the Litvishim. That Rav Lezer Shach and Rav Soloveitchik are Litvish and the Minchas Chinuch was a Galatiana. That happens to be correct. The Minchas Chinuch was a Galatiana. And the Soloveitchik family, Rav Lezer Shach, the Taka Litvish. But Rav Velvel Soloveitchik was also a Litvish. He's also from the same family. And he writes it's a double pasha. He doesn't refer to the Minchas Chinuch, but he writes the same thing on the Haftarah of the Shalach. He says, self-understood, when you go to war, of course people are going to get killed. How then can you wage a war? So it's obvious that whenever there's an instance of Choyvas Mochama, so you have to wage war even though you know that the people may get killed. Question is there a Choyvas Mochama in Eretz Yisrael? So that you have to be done. Okay. But to say that the Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Mitzvah Mochama is a little absurd. The Pashto certainly is that it cannot be Deicha. And Moshe Feinstein writes in one place, I don't know, he doesn't write, he's quoted by his in the Sefer Kol Rom by one of the members of the family, is quoted as having said that he thinks that you only have an inyan of going to war if you have a Navi tell you that you're going to win the war. That's very highly questionable. You only go to war when you have a Navi telling you in advance you're going to win the war. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he thinks that may be one of the Tayyad Mitzvos HaTorah. Before you're about to go to war, you should consult a Navi. To go to Mohammed Surashus, the Allah requires you have to consult the Navi, you have the approval of Eliot Mohammed Surashus, Al-Pi Sanhedrin, Al-Pi Navi, or Mitumim, a whole series. Lachem is a mitzvah you don't need a Navi. So the Ramban says, nonetheless, if there's a Navi around, there's a mitzvah to consult a Navi in advance to find out whether to go, what to do, how to do, and so on. Tactics. But to say that if you don't have a Navi, so you don't go to war at all, you don't do the mitzvah of Lachem is a mitzvah. So the Pashta says that it's highly questionable. The Pashta says that it's just not so. Beginning of Parshas Bishalach, we read the way Bnei Yisrael are petrified, that the Mitzvim are chasing after them, and in front of them is Yamsuf, and how are they going to get out of this mess? So they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hamid Bli Ein Kvar Nimitzan Lachachton Olam Was Bamidbar. Is it that you took us out of Egypt because there are not enough cemetery spots in Egypt? It's a humorous line. Rabbi Hirsch has in his commentary on Chumash on this pasuk, he says that the best comedians throughout all the generations were the Jewish people, because they were under such pressure, they suffered such tsaras, that the only way to relieve their aggravation was by cracking jokes. A lot of times when a person is in great difficulties, the only relief is through cracking a joke. So you have in the Chumash like that. It's an interesting line. Hamid Bli Ein Kvar Nimitzan Lachachton Olam Was Bamidbar. The Gemara in the Midrashim and the Gemara mentioned sometimes something about a Shem Ayin Beis, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has 72 letters. What exactly is this Shem Ayin Beis? Rashi in one place writes that there's a Shem, there is Zayin Shem Shem the Mechokim. They have the name Yudkei Vavkei, which is considered the Shem HaMiyuchad, the Shem HaMefoyrosh, more Choshev than the other six Shem Shem the Mechokim. And Rashi writes in one place that the Shem Ayin Beis, the name of Hashem that consists of 72 letters, is a higher Madregam a name than the Shem HaMefoyrosh of Yudkei Vavkei. The Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim writes that it's not so. He says the Shem Ayin Beis is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not one word. It's a whole bunch of words. It's a description. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you add up all the letters, and it adds up to 72 letters. Not one name. How can you pronounce such a name with 72 letters? He says it's a description of Elokus. It's only a kinu like Rachmachanu. It's not at all a higher level of a shame, higher than the Zayin Shemus. It's lower. It's like kinui. So that's one topic of a shame Ayin Beis. Machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam. I don't know what the shame Ayin Beis is. Rashi doesn't say what it is. The Rambam doesn't know either what it is, but he says it's some kind of a description of Elokus. But then Rashi writes on the Gemara in Sukkot, on the Mishnah, Nivahu Hashiyano, it says when they used to participate in the Simchas Beis Hashem, so they used to recite different piyutim. So it said, Nivahu Hashiyano. So Rashi has two pshat, and what does that mean, Nivahu? So he has one pshat, that this expression is based on the pasuk, Zekei Liliyan Vehu, in Shiras Hayam, in Oz Yashir. So the Gemara has three interpretations on the word Vian Vehu. It's a difficult word, Zekei Liliyan Vehu. So one interpretation is the Targum Unkelis, Vian Vehu Meloshen Noveh. Nove Shana. Nove means a home. Zekeli, the Anveyu, Evne Le Beis Magdusha. I will build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they promised right away they're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. Then there's another interpretation the Gemara has. Zekeli, the Anveyu, Anivahu. This is my God, and I will imitate him. I will imitate him. Like the Pasuk Bahalach to Bedrochav, to go on the ways of Hashem. So the Anveyu means they were so inspired, they said, Zekeli, the Anveyu. I will act in his. I will act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The man was created with Tzelem Alekim, and we were commanded to preserve the Tzelem Alekim. So they said, V'yanveim, I will maintain the Tzelem Alekim. Then the Gemara has a third interpretation, V'yanveim iloshim noye mitzvah. Zekim v'yanveim, I will do the mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion. Hidur mitzvah. We derive from this pasuk, one should be mahadah the mitzvahs. One shouldn't think, the Medrash says, one shouldn't think that a person has a mezuzah, and he just puts scotch tape around cellophane wrapping around the mezuzah, and he puts it on the doorpost, and that's it. He's yet to the mitzvah. He has this beautiful mezuzah, cost him $100, and he has the cheapest piece of cellophane wrapping it around. So the person shouldn't think he has a bigger mitzvah than everybody else. No, the other mezuzah that has the silver case looks nicer. So the person shouldn't think that looks are deceiving. Well, who cares what it looks like? So the Chazal say no. When you beautify the mitzvah, not only you have a beautiful cloth, you have a beautiful talizek, or you have a beautiful mentalah for the Sefer Torah, the Gemara says that's also part of Noye Mitzvah. by beautifying the mitzvah, this is considered a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash has such an expression, because the mitzvahs are shluchim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very striking expression, because the mitzvahs are shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shluchim shel Adam kemoisos, and when you mechabed the shaliach, it's considered as if indirectly you mechabed the shaliach, so you mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Medrash. The Sefer Charedim quotes this Medrash. The Medrash appears on the Pasuk as Yehuda Sholach Lefanov. I don't know why the Medrash wrote on that Pasuk. It says the verb Sholach as Yehuda Sholach Lefanov. So the Medrash takes off on Shlichus. The Shluchus Lorim Kemoises. It has that expression. You should be Mechabed the Mitzvahs, because the Mitzvahs are Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and indirectly one is Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being Mechabed the Mitzvahs. So the Rashi on this Mishnah in Sukkot, that it says Ani Vahu Hashiyana, Rashi has two interpretations. So the first interpretation is Ani Vahu, the God whom I plan to identify with, whom I plan to imitate, V'alach the Bidrachav Hashiyana, we call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a Yeshua. Then Rashi has another interpretation, that Ani Vahu, according to the first interpretation, how would you spell Vahu? Vav Hey Vav Aleph. Ani Vahu, me and him. Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ani is me. The Anveil was Ani Vahu, me and God. I'm going to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the second interpretation, you spell it Ani Vahu Vav Hei Vav, without the Aleph and the Yod. So what is Vav Hei Vav? There is no such word in the Hebrew language. Vav Hei Vav. According to the first pshat, the Vav is a Vav Achiba, Ani Vav. And the word is who, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the second pshat, the Vav is not a Vav Achiba. The word is Vav Hei Vav, and this is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does that name appear in Tanakh? Vav Hei Vav. So Rashi says, Ani is also a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is Ani? Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Manikan. So Rashi has a comment. He says, based on the Pasuk, based on the three Psukim, Vayisa Malachu Elokim, the three Psukim in Mishalach before the Kriyas Yamsuf. It's in Perek Yudal, the Pasuk Yutes, Chof and Chof Aleph. So Rashi writes, Ol Cheshbon, each one of the three Psukim has 72 letters. So he says, if you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, that's Vahu. Vayisa is the Vav of the first pasuk. Lekarav Zelzev Kol Alayla is a Hey, and the third pasuk begins with the letter Vav. Vayavav B'nei Yisrael B'ser Hayam. So he says, you keep on going like this. First letter, the last letter, the first letter, second letter, next to the last, and so on. You will come up with 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each name consisting of three letters. It's not what the Gemara in the Medrash referred to as the Shem Ayin Beis. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that consists of 72 letters. This is something else. There's 72 Shemas. Each has Gimel Oisiyos. So that's the second interpretation that Rashi has. That Ani Vahu are both names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not from the Shem Shem Ayin Chokim. The Gemara in Shavuos has a Brisa. This is not Shem Shem Ayin Chokim. Shem is Ani Chokim. Also some kind of a Shem.
Where did Rashi get that from?
He must have had some tradition. I don't know. He doesn't tell you where he got it from.
And also, what's the special significance of those three
superimitations per se? I don't know. I have no idea. This is already Sisrei Torah. I have no idea. But Rashi prints it on the Gemara. The Rashi is printed. The background, I don't know. I think the Taisis Yontem there discusses the Rashi a little bit on that Mishnah. I don't know. On this pasuk, the Makarav Zel Zekal Alayla, that's the concluding phrase in the second of these three psukim, Yutes, Kof, and Chof Aleph. There's a famous medrash on that pasuk, the Makarav Zel Zekal Alayla, that the medrash understands that the expression Zel Zeh has the connotation of the Makarav Zel Zeh V'yomar, when you have the Shiras HaMalachim. So what does that mean? So the medrash says that when the Mitzrayim were drowning, Biksha Malachi Asharas Loima Shira, they wanted to say Shira Takarish Boch, and the Rebbe Shlom said no. That he doesn't want them to recite Shira. He said, Maisa Yaratav Mayam, the Atimam Shira, it's not proper. What exactly does that mean? So the two interpretations, opposite interpretations in the Medrash. The popular interpretation, the generally accepted interpretation is that even though these were Mitzrim, these were Nazis, these were terrible people, and they deserved to drown, Baharak, but Hashem caused them to drown. And the Malachim wanted to recite Shira. But Hashem said it's not right. They shouldn't say Shira. Self-kosof, the human beings, and you shouldn't be Sameach HaMapalos and Shela Rishon. I developed Fek Takasha, but it says as Yosh Moshe Menei Sosaf Shira Zos, that they sang Shira. So there are different answers that are given. The famous answer from Rav Chaim Volozhiner is that the Jews were suffering at the hands of the Mitzrayim, so they had the right to say Shira. But the Malachim were not suffering, they weren't involved over here, so it's not proper. They were outsiders, it's not proper that they should say Shira. That's how they say the name Rav Chaim Volozhin. That on one occasion there was a village where there was a local Mossad. There was a Jew who used the Mossad to the government and all the other Jews who were avoiding income tax and whatever. And he caused a lot of trouble to the other Jews in the village. And finally the Mossad died of old age. And the Jews celebrated. They made a party and they were celebrating. So a businessman was traveling through the village, and he asked, what's today? He says, it's not Lag BaOmer, it's not Hanukkah, what's the celebration? They said, the local Mossad died. Okay, so he also drank L'chaim, he's also dancing and singing. So they said, Rav Chaim Volozhin gave a Muslim, and he said, that's not right. The Jews who lived in the village, they suffered at the hands of the Mossad, so they have a right to celebrate, but you're just passing through. It's not a Yom Tov that everybody should celebrate. He thought that the one who's passing by is like the Malachim, since he wasn't involved, so it's not proper that he should participate.
I'm trying to remember which sefer I saw it in, but I remember in Hilchot Avedut there was this idea about Avedut about somebody who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, not a Tinuk Shenishba, somebody who was a Mumar, and I think maybe it was the Chacham Adam said that, and maybe it's with the person Shabbat, that you should wear the headband from doing Avedut, the family member should wear Levanim, and it should be a Yom Simcha, but this person being a Mumar didn't necessarily affect, it wasn't necessarily that he was quoting for them, right? Yet nevertheless, it's like a Yom Simcha and the Yom Nita.
Mishnah has like that when the Haruge Bezdin are killed by the Bezdin, so it says the relatives do not observe Avelis, and it says the reverse, some verses in the Mishnah add on the Pasuk, Bavog Rishon Rina. When the Rishon dies, so you're supposed to celebrate. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question, even though they didn't suffer at the hands of the Rav. I don't know. It's a general problem. When do you sympathize with the Rishon who are suffering, with the Nazis who are dying, and when do you not sympathize with the Rishon? It's a major question. But there is an alternate interpretation in this Medrash that has the twist. The interpretation of Medrash is just the reverse. There is a Medrash that says that the armies of Sancheirev died when they heard the Shiras HaMalachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to save the Jewish people from the war of Sancheirev's army. So the Malachim sang Shira, so all of the armies died. So on this occasion, that's how others interpret this Medrash. That the Bikshah Malachi HaShor is Loi Mashir. They wanted to say Shira, that the Mitzrayim should pass out, they should die, from the beauty of him, Shiras HaMalachim. Why should they suffer by drowning? Let them die a Mises Nishika. So the Rabbi Shalom said, what are you talking about? They drowned my children, my Sayyad, I told you, my Yam. They were so mean to the Jewish people, and you're going to let them die with Shira? Let them die by drowning? So the interpretation is punkt behepah, just the opposite. The Rabbi Shalom didn't. The Malachim wanted to have Rachmanis on the Mitzrayim, and the Rabbi Shalom said, no Rachmanis. They're Rishoyim Arurim. So they should be punished, Midah Kineged Midah. Some of the Svarim have that interpretation. Many of the Rabbanim who went through the Second World War like to say over that interpretation. But before the war, this is printed in Svarim, this other interpretation. There is a fascinating comment in the Medrash on the Pasuk in the beginning of the Shalach. Yasav Elokim Asam Derech HaMidbar Yam Suf. The simple translation is, like the Targum says, Va'aschar, Miloshen Saviv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had them go in a roundabout way. Instead of going in a direct fashion, they went, Hisibom in a derech hapshut al derech akuma, Rashi writes. He took them in a roundabout fashion. L'sabeif. So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment, Shmois Rabbah has a comment on the Pasim Miloshen Haseba. Va'yaseb al-Kim Asam derech hamidba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Bnei Yisrael. He freed them. Now he caused them to eat Behesebo, that as long as they were in Egypt, they were Avadim. So only the masters used to recline while they ate their meals in a comfortable fashion. And the Bnei Yisrael used to eat in cramped quarters, they weren't able to eat Behesebo. But now that they were freed, by Yasav Elokim Asam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled Bnei Yisrael, now that they were free men, to eat Behesebo. And then the Medrash concludes, and it's for that reason that the rabbis introduced the mitzvah Haseba on Pesach night, Zecha leHaseba, to reminisce about the Haseba that they had at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is a comment that the Medrash has. It's usually assumed that that's not the reason for Haseba. It's usually assumed that it's not Zecha leHaseba, But it's rather that we ourselves demonstrate that we are bnei chorin. B'chol davar d'chagam liyasatz mitilu hu yatzim in Mitzrayim. So the way to demonstrate that we are bnei chorin is that we eat the Haseba. So it's not really zecher to the Haseba that they had. We don't know. In the Gemara, we don't know whether they had a Haseba or they didn't have a Haseba. It's that we are demonstrating that we are bnei chorin. And this medrash says that it's a zecher to the Haseba that they had. The issue comes up in Shulchan Aruch, the opinion of the Rabbi Yoh is mentioned. The Rabbi Yoh says that Bizman Hazeh nobody has to do any Haseba because it doesn't mean anything. Eat the Haseba, it's very uncomfortable. So it shows that you're not a free man. A free man enjoys sitting straight. What does he have to bother himself? So the Rabbi Yoh's opinion is not accepted. We are still machmet to have Haseba. But B'dievet, there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe B'dievet, we should rely on the Rabbi Yoh. In some cases, if a person ate the afikoyman shalai b'aseba and he benched already, so maybe he would be mekel, but he doesn't have to eat another afikoyman. And women, it says, rely on the Rabbi Yoh. The women don't have aseba. Even in Medina de Gemara, the women should really do aseba. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the women rely on the Rabbi Yoh. Why should the women rely on Rabbi Yoh more than the men? What, the Rabbi Yoh was a woman? The comments, hey, but it was a man. Rabbi Yoel Halevi, no, he's a man. So why do the women rely on the Rabbi Yoel? It's very strange. So some say that this is the reason why. That the Gemara says that women are mechuyev in abrikosis, and women are mechuyev in eseva, and women are mechuyev in ner chanukah, in the mikra and megillah, because afin haibi yosanes. So Rishonim ask Akasha, Tosfos says, why not say women are mechuyev in sukkah, afin haibi yosanes? So the Gemara has a yafusa, women are mechuyev in matzah, a whole fancy yafusa. Why don't you say simply, afin haibi yosanes? So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where somebody asked him Akasha, why aren't women obligated to put on tefillin? Because it says, man tiyater osa Hashem l'ticha, tibiyar chazoka, or tziyach Hashem in Mitzrayim, that tefillin is zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. So say women are mechuyev in tefillin, afin haibi yosanes. Right, so that's what it means. The arbikaisis with the mikra megillah without lakas neres chanukah is mangrama. I'm not understanding that the women are mukhi because I can have yes on that. So say over here also about these mitzvahs. That's Tosfos kasha. That's the kasha. So the Chasam Sofer has a teretz that Rav Soloveitchik used to like. He used to say his father said over that teretz. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That it depends whether the mitzvah is zecher l'nes or the mitzvah is pirsumi nisa. When it's only zecher l'nes, matzah is zecher l'nes, and sukkah is zecher l'nes, and tefillin is zecher l'nes. You can say that it's pirsumi niso. When a person sees a Jew wearing tefillin, right away the thing that comes to mind is Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you'll open up the batim and you'll unroll the parshias, then it says about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if you don't open up, you just see the person wearing tefillin. That's not mefarsaming this anes. When you read the Megillah, you're telling over the story of the anes. When you light the candles, and you say aneros halala olamadikim, so you're advertising the anes. But the same thing on Pesach night, when you have haseba with abakoshes, but tziruf the sipri tzias and time, tziruf the hagada, then you're being mefarsaming the anes. That's pesumi nisa. So that's how the Chasam Sofer says, when in the mitzvah, in the essence of the mitzvah is pesumi nisa, then you say the women are mechuyev afin haidiyos anes. But when it's only zecher l'nes, that's the historical background, but it's really no pirsumi nisa being accomplished now, so then you're not mechayev women. You don't apply the klal of afin haidiyos anes. How do you know whether any given mitzvah is pirsumi nisa or zecher l'nes? So that's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik added on. Whenever it's pirsumi nisa, then we say a bracha, shos and nisim l'avazim. Whenever it's only zecher l'nes, then we don't say shos and nisim. Shos HaNisim is the Bichas HaMitzvah, so to speak, like a Bichas HaMitzvah over the Pesumi Nisa aspect that's involved in the mitzvah. So we only say Shos HaNisim in connection with Hadlokas Neves Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. And on Pesach night we say, Shev Yolana, the Golas HaVaseinim in Mitzrayim, etc. So the Rishonim say that Bracha Shev Yolana is the equivalent of Shos HaNisim LaVaseinim. So these three times, on these three occasions, we say a bracha that's either this bracha or equivalent to this bracha of Shos HaNisim, because we're performing a mitzvah where the essence of the mitzvah is the Pesumi Nisa. So the question is, what's the status of the mitzvah for this mitzvah of the Rabbanan of Haseba? It's not a mitzvah there, right? The mitzvah of Haseba, is it zecher l'nes or is it Pesumi Nisa? So some want to say that it's taka both. According to the Medrash, Vayasav Avigin HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to eat the Haseba now that they're free. So the Medrash says Mikan some Chachamim to institute Haseba zecher l'nes. If it's only zecher l'nes, then the women are not mechuyev in Haseba, only the men. But the Gemara says it's an additional idea, not just zecher l'nes, the fact that they have Haseba, You have to demonstrate that we are b'nei chorin. So we demonstrate by eating the hasebo. So then it's pirsumi nisa. So pirsumi nisa, the women are also mechuyim. So the Rav Yosef says correctly that bizman is there. What kind of pirsumi nisa when you eat the hasebo? It's so uncomfortable. It looks like some religious ritual. People don't see that's a demonstration today that the person is a b'nei chorin. Today the b'nei chorin don't eat the hasebo, so it's uncomfortable today. So you can't say that the women are still mechuyim and hasebo because of pirsumi nisa. The Rav Yosef says no pirsumi nisa today, but the men are still mechuyim and hasebo because of the zechalanes. That's how some say. That's how the yeshivas. That's how they want to say. And today said where the Chumash tells of the nes of the mon, that the mon came down, lechem and hashamayim came down 6 days, and an erev Shabbos and an erev Yontif. That's how the Gemara understands the mon. The Chumash only says the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. Doesn't say one way or the other on Yontif. But the Gemara in the first daf in Beitza says that the mon didn't come down on Yontif either. The whole halacha of Beitza Shinol the Yontif and Chana the Rab is all about Yontif. So Tosu says you see from the Gemara, and that based on the base in Beitza, you see from the Gemara that they assume the mon neither came down on Shabbos nor on Yontif. Tosu has a difficulty with the Nusach HaTfilah. On Friday night when we daven Ma'ariv in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say Ata Kiddash L'Temashvi L'Shimcha Tachlis Masa Shemayim Ata V'Yerachta Mikol HaYomim V'Kiddash Mikol HaZman. What do you mean V'Yerachta Mikol HaYomim? It means that Shabbos is holier than the other Yomim Tovim. V'Kiddashto, it's more blessed than the other Yomim Tovim. V'Kiddashto Mikol HaZman, it's more Mekudish than the other Yomim Tovim. In what way is it more Mekudish and more Mevorach than the others? So the Chazal have a comment on Vaychulu. By Baruch Elokim as Yom HaShvi'i by Kaddish Oisoi. So Rashi and Fumish quotes Berach HaBemon and Kiddush HaBemon. Baruch means that there's Tosefes. So Berach HaBemon means that Lech HaMishnah came down, a double portion came down on Erev Shabbos. And Kiddush HaBemon, Kiddush means to abstain, that no mon fell down on Shabbos. So if we, that's what it says in Bereishis. By Baruch Elokim as Yom HaShvi'i by Kaddish Oisoi, Hashem gave a Baruch to Shabbos, that in generations later there'll be a double portion on Erev Shabbos and Kiddush HaBemon, that the mon did not fall down on Shabbos proper. So if we, Tosfos says, if we say in the Nusach of the Brocha, well, they're after Mikola Yom HaVi, that's the Mikola's mind, and it sounds like only on Shabbos the mon didn't come down, on Yom Tov the mon did come down, and only on Erev Shabbos was there a double portion, on Erev Yom Tov not. They're after Mikola Yom HaVi. Mikola Yom HaVi means, as opposed to the 6 days of the week, no, Mikola Yom HaVi means, Mikola's mind means the Yom Tovim. So Tosfos asks, isn't that in contradiction to the Gemara? The Gemara of the Pharisee that the mon didn't come down on Yom Tov, and we learn our din deraisa from that. We learn achana derabba is a din deraisa, the Gemara says. So Tosfos suggests maybe the mon tasted better on Shabbos than it did on Yom Tov. Maybe there was something unique about the mon of Shabbos over and above the mon, but they say the mon didn't come down, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. That's what it says in the Gemara. Maybe Tosfos says maybe it's Midrashim Chalukim, maybe it's a Machloekim Satanayim, maybe two different traditions. But you should try to press the two in together. They say maybe the mon had a different flavor on different days. The mon on Shabbos tasted better than on Yom Tov. Maybe on Yom Tov tasted better than on the weekdays also. But they're not sure exactly how to deal with that lotion of the pasuk. So here the Gemara says that zechal amon, zechal anes of the mon. We have two mitzvahs, al pi pashtus and mitzvahs from the rabbanon. Some rishonim want to say it's mitzvahs deraisa. The Prima Gordon talks about this, but the pashtus is that they're both from the rabbanon. There's one mitzvah to have shalashudis on Shabbos, zechal amon, because Moshe Rabbeinu tells him Ichlu Hayom Kishabbos Hayom LaShem Hayom Lom Sitzuhu Basoris. So he says Hayom three times, so that implies that they ate three sudas from the mon that they had on Shabbos, and Lech HaMishnah came down on Erev Shabbos. So we use Lech HaMishnah to say Hamoitzi on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. These are Takonis from the Rabban of Zechel Ones. What bracha they said? Yeah. Some want to say that this had Hamoitzi Lechem and Hashamayim. Yeah. That they said because it was lechem and hashamayim. So some achrenim discuss what bracha did they recite when they ate the mon. Some say no bracha. Some says you have to say a bracha at all. Also, honest men oil mazeh below bracha. Maybe this is not called oil mazeh. Maybe this is neyain oil mafot. And others want to say they said a bracha about some lechem and hashamayim. Yeah.
Is that it's
That if the mon, if you would have yom to fall out on a Sunday,
right,
and the mon and a beitzah would be nolda on yontif, and it would be nigmara on Shabbos,
right,
that would be a nisa deraisa to eat that beitzah, because any food that you eat on yontif has to have a proper hachana. If it has an improper hachana, you're not allowed to eat it. Where does it say that the food on yontif has to have a proper hachana? The pasuk says mehechinu eisa sheyavir, but the pasuk is talking about Shabbos. It's not talking about yontif. So the Gemara clearly assumes that the sukkim apply equally to Shabbos and to Yontif. So we have these two takanas from the Rabbanan, Alpi Pashtus, the takana of Lech HaMishnah, the takana of Shalashudis, which are both Zecha Lamon. It's a problem, how come we don't apply them both to Yontif? On Yontif we assume that you have to have Lech HaMishnah. On Yontif the common practice is that we don't need Shalashudis. The Rambam writes you have to have Shalashudis on Yontif also, so the Rambam is okay. The Rambam is consistent. He has Shalashudis on Yontif and he has Lech HaMishnah on Yontif. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that you don't have to eat Shalashudis on Yontif, and the Bir Agrog gives you as a Makar, a Talmud Yerushalmi, and Maseches Maisi Sheni, by Bir, talking about Bishnas HaBir, and that's Rabbi Natam's Mishnah. And the boat, Rabbi Gamliel on the boat. So it's, and the Mishnah there talks about how many meals do you leave over. So it says for Shabbos you leave 3 meals, and for Yontif you only leave over 2 meals. You don't leave over 3 meals. So Yerushalmi says that there's no Shalashudis on Yontif. So that's a problem. Manav Shech, if you're making Zech Alamon, in that you require Lech HaMishnah, why don't you require Shalashudis? So that's a major problem. I don't know the answer.
So,
Could be also? I don't know. Could be also.
Even if we assume that the man didn't fall on Yantan, who's to say that the din of Hayyan, Hayyan, Hayyan applies?
Okay. Maybe not. Maybe that's only Shabbos, not Yantan. Okay, good. It's not the Hashem Yoy Reina. It's a question that maybe Shari Terutz and Loinin Alam. Maybe a lot of Terutz. Okay. So the... some are bothered with a kasha when he had Yontif Samach L'Shabbos. When Yontif falls on a Friday or Sunday, then a triple portion of mon came down, because the mon didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. So how come we don't require Lech HaMishulash when you have Shabbos next to Yontif? That's also an interesting kasha. Shlomo Levilner has a whole essay about that. He doesn't come up with an answer. He's bothered with that kasha. It's safe opinion, Shlomo. Anyway, so the Gemara says there's such a takana v'rabban. You have to have Lech HaMishnah and you have to eat Shalashudis. So the Ran on that Gemara, that's in Perek Kol Kisvei, Masechah Shabbos, the Ran on that Gemara quotes the Rabbi Natam as saying that women are just as obligated as men in both Lech HaMishnah and the Shalashudis, because it's Zecha Lamon. And the Rabbi Natam says, Afen Hai B'Yosana, since the women were just as involved in the Ness of the Mon as the men, so they're Mechuyiv in these two Takanas from the Rabbana, which are Zecha Lanes. The Ran agrees with the Rabbi Natan, bottom line, Allah Lamaisa, but he disagrees on the reason. He thinks that he has a different reason. He has a better reason than the Rabbi Natan. Not because Afin Habir Sanez, comparing it to Arbekosis and to Heseba and to Mikram Negila and so on, but rather he says, Zachar B'Shamar, Kol Sheyeshna B'Shamar, Yeshna B'Zachar. So the women are obligated to observe Shamar because Shamar is a Loisesi. Shamar Pen Bial is a Lav. And the Eloi says, even if it's a Zman Grama, the women are obligated to observe. So the Mele, even the Zachar, which refers to Kiddush, which should have been a Mitzvah Seser Shah Zman Grama, the women are just as Mechuyiv as the men in Kiddush. But the Ran says, it's Lav Davke Kiddush. It means all Mitzvah Sayyim. It means that it's one package deal. It's one Kedusha Sayyim, is Mechayiv in all the Mitzvah Sayyim. So since the women are obligated to observe the Kedusha Sayyim vis-a-vis Yisra Malacha, so they're obligated to observe all the other Mitzvah Sayyim as well. So some, by many Hasidim, there's a practice that women are not so nizer in the Shalashudis. The women are not so nizer in the Lech HaMishnah. The husband says, I'm oitzi on the Lech HaMishnah, the wife is in the kitchen. And then the wife comes in 5 minutes later, she takes a piece of challah, she says, I'm oitzi on a slice of challah. So very often by the Hasidim, very often by the Snagdim also, the women are not so medactic on the Shalashudis and on the Lech HaMishnah. So one of the G'dayle Akhrenim has a tshuva, he's like, he waves a magic wand over here. He says, The Rabbi Natan gave a reason, and the Ran gave a reason. Rabbi Natan doesn't offer the Ran's reason, the Ran doesn't offer Rabbi Natan's reason. He's left with nothing. So therefore, the women are not muslim. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes, how did he do this disappearing act? They both said the same thing. Allah Hamas. They both said that the women are just as mukhiv as the men, and lecha nishnen and shalashuv. So how did he say? The Ran gave a reason, Rabbi Natan gave a reason. Each one doesn't offer the other one's reason. So he left with nothing. He left with the final maskana that they both said Allah Hamas. The same thing, that the women are just as mukhiv as the men. Tzvami Kluge has that shuva. It's a very harif. He has this. All of his shuvas are very harifistic, but sometimes it's a little too harifistic. No one holds from anybody else. You're left with nothing. How can it be? So here there's a discussion when the Ran disagrees with the Rabbi Natan, and he gives a better reason. He says because kol sheyesh l'mishama yesh l'mezacha. He doesn't. He feels that the reason of the Rabbi Natan is not necessary. That's the lashon he writes. Ain't tzarich. He says the reason of Rabbi Natan after Nahavias and this is not necessary. Have a better reason. It means that it's not correct. Maybe he holds that it's not correct. That's a question. When you have shalashudis and you have lecha mishnah, is that pirsumi nisum or is that only zechel anes? It could be that that's when someone walks in and he sees the eating shalashudis, he's like, ah, mun. That's the first thing that comes to mind is mun. Highly questionable. Zechel anes. It's not the first thing that comes to mind. The Feirish not, because there's a famous mistake in the art scroll. And the art school first started to print, so they went to rush to print and they didn't check everything over. So they printed as Miris for Shabbos. So they had to write everything in English. So they wrote, they translated it, they quoted the Or HaShulchan that we eat three sudas on Shabbos, Zechel LaHaman. So they wrote that it's reminiscent of the three meals that Haman had with Ahasuerus and Esther. They translated wrong. Then that's the first edition. Then the later edition, they realized it's Zechel LaHaman, not the, it's the Hay idea, it's not Haman. It's not the Haman Arosh. Come on. So obviously it's not a dead giveaway. You can't say it's Pesumei Nisa. It's not a dead giveaway that when we eat Shalashudas, right away everybody reminded of the month. It's a Zechel Anes.
Could you ask the same question on Dalet Kosis? Not totally self-evident.
Right, but the Dalet Kosis, we drink a toast, each one over a bracha. We say Kiddush, and then we say Asher Girolono, and then we say Birchas Hamod, and we say Halal, and each one of them we say it's Yitzhak Mitzrayim, every one of them. We don't drink Abba Kaisis alone. Each Kais is a Bracha La Kais. So in that sense, you're spelling out what you're drinking a toast over. When you drink a toast, you say a toast to the new Rosh HaMemshalah, a toast to the President of the United States, a toast to the Chosen Kala, a toast to the Mechuton, you say what the toast is. So on Pesach night, we're not like shikurim in a bar, they just drink. We take a cup of wine and we say, a toast to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that he gave us Yantam and he gave us Yitzias and Simon, say Kiddush. And we say again, a toast to the Rabbanu, all four to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. A toast to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, Hashem, Yalan, and Vikala, Sava, Sava, Sava. Each toast, you're saying what it's all about. So you are explaining what it is. Yes? That could well be that it's a double machloikis between the Rabbi Natan and the Ran. Could be the Ran doesn't agree with the Rabbi Natan. He holds that Afen Harbi Yosanes does not apply to Shalashudas and Lacha Mishnah because it's not. See, Rav Shlomo Kluge claims that Rabbi Natan doesn't agree with the Ran doesn't agree with Rabbi Natan. That's not so self evident. It could be that each one gave a reason and each one holds from the other one's reason. Especially the Ran writes on the Rabbi Natan, the Einot Tzorich. That's the Loshon that he writes. The Ran on the Rif. Einot Tzorich, he don't need the Rabbi Natan's reason. Sounds like he's masking. But if one should assume that each one taka does disagree with the other one's reasoning, each one holds the other reason is not correct, but they hold Allah HaLamayis the same. So it could be the issue by the Apen Rabbi Yosanes is whether this only applies in the case of Pirsuminis or even applies when it's a Zechel Anes. The issue that the Hassam Sefer brought up. And the other issue that the Ran brought up, it could be Rabbi Natan disagrees. That the Ran holds that Zachar B'Shama means that all of the mitzvahs of Shabbos stem from the same Kedusha Sayyam. Either the Kedusha Sayyam is relevant for you or it's not relevant. So if the Kedusha Sayyam calls Sheesh B'Shamar, if the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos is Mechayv the women in Shmira Shabbos, and Nisa Malacha, Shmira Shabbos means to be Hashem Shabbos, not to do Malacha, that is Mechayv in all the mitzvahs Sayyam. It could be the Rabbi Natan doesn't agree. It could be Rabbi Natan holds that Hekesh is only a local, it's only a connection between Malacha and Kiddush. Why? Why Malachim Kiddush? The Rambam has an expression, and towards the end of Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam has an expression that Shvisa Malach on Shabbos should be in such a fashion that it should be a Shvisa Hanikeres. It should be noticeable and conspicuous that it's because of the Kedushas Hayon. Sometimes a person abstains from Malacha because he's so rich, he has everybody else doing Malacha for him. A retired millionaire has nothing to do. He doesn't lift a finger. Everybody else does all the Malachas for him. So the Rambam says such a person on Shabbos is not going to have a Shvisa Hanikeres. It's not noticeable that he's being Shabbos today. All week long it doesn't do anything. You have to do something on Shabbos and it should be noticeable that the Shvisa is Machmas Kedushas Hayon. So it could be that's what the Rabbeinu Tam understood in the Hekesh of Zohar V'Shomer, called Sheyeshna V'Shomer. Whoever is obligated to abstain from Malacha, Yeshna V'Zohar, is obligated to mention Kiddush to say that I'm abstaining from Malacha because of the Kedushas Hayon. So it could be the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Ran and holds that the Hekesh doesn't apply to the Shar Mitzvah Hayon. What? Kiddush and Shalashutis and Lacha Mishnah because of a local reason, because Achen had Biyosanes, but Kibbut Biyoneg, maybe not. That's the question. Are women Mukhuy than Kibbut Biyoneg?
If you say Kibbut Biyoneg, is there anything for a lot of them, like the Tiba Sobia Sobra Pesha, or what we're going to be doing in terms of like how we walk, how we eat, what things of Shabbos, you take that side that you just mentioned that it didn't apply to women, did that also fall by the inside or not?
One can view those as Isurim. We say that women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, is only mitzvah saseh, but if you have a mitzvah loy saseh shazman grama, that the women are mechuyev to observe. So when you say mei asos derachecho, itibarto mei asos derachecho, nidabe dover, that's already a meniyah, that's already like a loy saseh. It could be that part of the pasuk in Yishai, the women are obligated to observe, that's like a loy saseh shazman grama. But the question is, what about the kibud and the yonik? What about the dress up Shabbos day? Some of the women will dress up Shabbos day. But is it an Isser? Shalayahei malbush hoshcha Shabbos ke malbush hoshcha. Is that an Isser? Well, it's not an Isser. It's a mitzvah to dress up a Shabbos day and malbush. So maybe if it's only a mitzvah, maybe the women are exempt.
If we should assume that the Rebbeinu Tam says that same how you even by things that are dichon, is how far would he take that? Can he take that to tefillin?
No, then you have this discussion. What about tefillin? So there are other terutzim. The Hasan Sefer is not the only terutz. It's a famous terutz that Tesis gives, that Achen Rebbe Yosan Nes doesn't apply to mitzvahs deraisa. Only applies to mitzvahs derabbanan. That's one opinion that the Hasan Sefer quotes it. That's one version. That's one opinion that Tesis gives. And Maharami Prag has in one of his essays an interesting explanation of that. Why should Afer have the Esan that's only applied to mitzvahs derabbanon, not to mitzvahs deraisa? So he says mitzvahs derabbanon, first the historical event occurred, and then at some later time, chronologically, the rabbis instituted the mitzvahs zechavanes. But the mitzvahs deraisa are not necessarily so. The mitzvahs deraisa, the Gemara has an expression, the Torah was ksuvah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu 2,000 years before Briyas Olam. Before these historical events even occur. So really the matzah and the maror and the tefillin and the sukkah are not necessarily zeichel nes. Maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo made the nes in order that the matzah should make sense. Like that is a famous comment the Beis Halevi has. Ba'vizeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. So the Ibn Ezra says, Ba'vizeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. Doesn't mean fakir. Ba'vizeh Hashem asa li b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. Amiyo says that. I do these mitzvahs of matzah and mor and korban pesach because of its yisman shem. So the Ibn Ezra quotes one of the karoim who interpreted the pasuk like that. Bavuzeh asa Hashem li, bavur shashem asa li, aliyo says it. So the Ibn Ezra says it's apikursus, it's mahapach diber lekim chayim, it's tzedrein the psukim. So how do you translate the pasuk? How do you interpret bavuzeh asa Hashem li? So the Beis Halevi has a famous arichas on that. He says the mitzvahs were there kaidem briyas olam. Avraham Avinu, what does it say? Avraham, who matzah sofa by yochelo. Avraham Avinu, who load gave them aloch and matzah. Where did he pick up? He picked it up from Avraham Avinu. They were eating matzahs before Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says the mitzvahs existed before briyas olam, and he says the Rebbeinu Shel Olam rigged the history in such a way that Yitzias Mitzrayim should occur in the springtime because he wanted to have a yontif of geula in the springtime, and he wanted that he should have a shaychus with matzah and mar. Because the history to occur in such a way that it should fit in with the mitzvahs. Not that the mitzvahs were instituted years later as a zecher to the history. So that's what the Maharal Miprag suggests as an interpretation of that Tosfos, that at a mitzvah deraisa, it's hard to say that that it's a zecher l'nes. How do you know that the Rabbanu Shlom gave the mitzvah after the historic event occurred to be a zecher for that event? Maybe the mitzvah existed before the historical event. On a mitzvah the Rabbanu, we know there was a historical occurrence, and then the Chachamim in a later time instituted, chronologically later, they instituted the mitzvah deRabbanan zecher to that event. But a mitzvah deRaisa, you can never tell what the order is, what the Seder is.
I didn't understand the point about about the Rambam's statement that you need a speaking in Keret, and how that applied to every time. I didn't quite catch what you said.
Rambam writes in a different context. Rambam is explaining why the Chachamim instituted Muktzah. What they need Muktzah for? You have all the mitzvahs of Shabbos. So he says because there are some people who are retired, wealthy retirees, and they don't lift a finger all week long. They don't do any malachas anyway. The laundry is done by others, the cooking is done by others, and everything is done by others. They don't have to lift a finger. So they abstain from malacha all week long, to the same extent as Shabbos. So the Rambam says this is a problem, because we want to have shvisa hanikeres. It should be noticeable that the abstaining from malacha on Shabbos is because the day has a kedushas hayom. So therefore, the Rambam says they instituted Hilchas Muktzah to beef up the Shvi Sanhedrin. So it could be that this is what the Rabbi Tam thinks is the nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush. That there's a special relationship between Zohar V'Shamah, between Isim Aloha and Kiddush. Kiddush, the theme of the Kiddush is, we state explicitly, we're abstaining from Aloha because today has a Kedusha Sayyid. To make the Shvisa Mamloch into a Shvisa Hanikar. So it could be that Hekish doesn't apply to Kol Shar Mitzvah Sayyid. It's only a connection between these two mitzvahs, and it doesn't mean that the women are mechuyev in all the mitzvahs Sayyid. So that's perhaps why the Rabbi and Tom felt he has to go fish around for a different time. Why should the women be mechuyev in Shal Shudas and Lechem Mishnah? And he points out very well, that time will only satisfy Lechem Mishnah and Shal Shudas, Hafen Habiyaz Hanez. It won't cover Kibbut V'yayin. So perhaps the women, according to Rabbi and Tom, perhaps the women are not mechuyev in Kibbut V'yayin. Before the Shiva Sayam begins, we have a tradition. We have a pasuk by Yeshuva Haman by Chasu es Arech ves Aparash Mucholche Parah Haboim Achreim Bayam. So on the word Haboim, the hay, it says printed in the regular Chumashim that this is supposed to be Barosha Omer, the column in the Sefer Torah is supposed to begin with this hay, Haboim, and the simon to remember is because Shemo Beis Yud Hay Shin Mem Vav. That these letters have to be on the top of the column, Bereshis. The first column in the Sefer Torah has to begin with the letter Bereshis. Okay, that we know. The base, that's a giveaway. But what are the others? Yud and Hey and Shin Mem Vav. So there are traditions on this. So the Hey is Haboy Machreihem Bayam. There are some Rishonim hold that this is Mikuvel Machlokes. Whether this Mach, what if you have a Sefer Torah, but the Hey of Haboy Machreihem is not on the top of the column? But some hold that it would pass on a Sefer Torah. One of them is in Vayichi, Yehuda Ata Yaducha Achecha. So there's a machlokes, different traditions regarding the Yud. Which Yud is supposed to be on the top of the column? Is it Yehuda or is it Yaducha? So if it's Yaducha, then it's really a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush, because Yehuda Ata is less than 9 letters. And usually we say that you have to have a minimum of 9 letters on every line in the Sefer Torah. Yehuda is 5 letters and Ato is 3 letters, so it's 8 letters together. So if you say that the Yud is Yoducho, that's on the top of the column, and before Yehuda is a Psucho. It says Achal Kem B'Yakov Afik Tzem B'Yisrael, then there's a Psucho, goes to the end of the line. The next line begins with Yehuda, Ato, and the next line begins with Yoducho. You have a line that only has 8 letters. So these Rishonim obviously think that this the Koshmo is Likuvah. So this tradition is ma'akev, so you have no beris, so you have to, it's a yotze min haklal, you have a line in the sefer that has to always have 8 letters. That's not the common practice. Common practice is that the Yud of Yehuda is on the top of the column. So So it's not a raya whether it's makir b'diavad or not. But those Rishonim hold beferish that this because Shmo is makir b'diavad, because otherwise the Sefer Torah would have been pasul. That you have Yehuda Akta, only eight letters on the mark. There is also a question regarding the concluding pasuk in the Shira. The Shira Sayam has to be written Ariyach HaGabi Leveino. He's supposed to write it as poetry. He's supposed to write with blanks, and you write a little bit, you leave an empty space, and then you have it's not like Hazinu that it's written in two columns. You have empty space, and then the next line you have written under the empty space, and you don't have written under the part that has written. The question is, which pasuk is the end of the Shira? Hashem Yimelach Liyolam Void, or Kibosis Par Berich Bo Farasha Bayom? So I think the Ibn Ezra Chumash writes Kibosis Par Berich Bo is a historical comment that the pasuk is giving. That was not part of the Shira. The Nigin was over with Hashem Yimelach Liyolam Void. That was the conclusion. And that's the practice that we have when we say Shiva Sayam in the morning. It says in the Zohar, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you conclude Sukkot Zimra, you should say Oz Yashir. So when you get to the end of the Shira, so we say the concluding pasuk twice, Hashem Yimelach Liyolam Vod, Hashem Yimelach Liyolam Vod. We say it twice because that's the end. So according to David, as we start at the end, Kibosos Par is not part of the Shira. But the Vilna Gaon says that we don't follow that opinion. When you look in the Sefer Torah, Kibosos Par Berich Bo, the pasuk you test, the 19th pasuk is the end. It's also written Ariyach HaGabi Leveinu. It's not written like a regular pasuk. So that's why the Vilna Gaon says you should say Kibosos Par also in the morning. You're not finished when you say Hashem Ruach Yom Avod. You have to say the last pasuk. So a lot of Siddurim have it in parentheses. Because in the end of Oz Yashir, they have Kibosos Par parentheses, that according to the Vilna Gaon, you should say it. According to the Ben Ezra, you don't have to say it's not part of the Shira Sayam. But Lamaisa, Allah Maisa, bottom line, in the Sefer Torah, we treat it as if it is part of the Shira Sayam. That's why we write it Ariyach HaGabi Leveina. We write it like a piece of poetry. Probably. You don't have to say it twice, but the minute to say it twice is because we assume that we have just completed the Shira. So as a note of finality, so we say the concluding pasuk twice, but it's not the concluding pasuk, so why do you say it twice? So we do both to satisfy the both opinions. We say Hashem Elok Yom Avod twice, then we say Kibosis Parah. The Gemara learns that from this pasuk that we mentioned before. Zekei Leviyadeh, the Gemara learns that the halacha of Noyei Mitzvah. And the Gemara says that the Gemara assumes that it's a real din d'oraisa. That a person should write, say, the Torah no, tefillah no, it should be beautiful. I will wrap them, I will wrap the Sefer Torah with a beautiful mantala. Shiroim means silk. With a silk mantala, whatever is considered beautiful. You have to beautify, you have to have noyei mitzvah, not only the cheftishal mitzvah should be beautiful, the mezuzah case should be beautiful. And the method of performing the mitzvah should be in a beautiful fashion. If you can do the mitzvah with your right hand or your left hand, if you do it with your left hand, it's going to be awkward. You do it with your right hand, it's going to be more bekavadik. So you should do it with your right hand. Or you can do, let's say, kisei adam, you can do it with your hand, you can do it with your foot. A person shechts Sunday, they're going to shecht aliyah, it says. Okay, they have signs on it. Whoever's interested in shechit and treifas should sign up for the Sunday shechit of the lamb. But let's say when you shecht the lamb, so there's no kisei adam. When you shecht the chaya or oaf, then there's a kisei adam. So let's say a fellow shechting a turkey, he's shechting a goose, and then he has a stack of sawdust, he just gives it a kick with his foot. So the Gemara says that's a bizei mitzvah. He should do the mitzvah in the mobi covered in a fashion. V'shochet v'chisa b'mesh v'shochet yichasa. How did he shecht? With his foot. He shechted with his hand, so he should do the kisei adam with his hand also. That's more bekavadik. This is all part of the din of noyei mitzvah. The mitzvah should be done. The maisa mitzvah should be in a bekavadik fashion. The cheftishal mitzvah should be bekavadik, and the mentala should be. Everything should be in a bekavadik fashion.
And what Rabbi said before about the difference, why would you use if you use left hand, it wouldn't be as good as the right hand. Isn't that
B'chol D'Racha Chadayah,
that you should use your
right hand instead of your left hand? B'chol D'Racha Chadayah means all day long. All day long and everything that we do. Yeah, we want to demonstrate that not only the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash or Makriv Karbonos have to do with the right hand, if he does the avodah the small of his puzzle, all day long when we tie our shoes, when we eat food, whatever we do, our daily activities is also like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. Mar has such an idea also. not only when we're performing mitzvahs, even when we're doing neutral things, even when we're doing things that are not mitzvahs, we should also act as if they're mitzvahs, to do everything l'shem shamayim. Kol ma'aseh l'shem shamayim. Everything is a mitzvah. Everything in life is a mitzvah. First you should be healthy and relaxed and so on. So everything is considered a mitzvah. That's b'chol derech echadoi. So the Gemara has an interesting din in connection with this halacha of noye mitzvah. The Gemara discusses this halach and perek ablezer de milo. Masech HaShabbos, there are 24 prokhs. There's a lot there. Ablezer de milo didn't really have to be a Masech HaShabbos. They could have put it in some other masechta, but the Mepharshim on the Mishnah is right on the first page that Shabbos is known as a kala. And traditionally in the days of the Tanakh, it says in Yecheskel, I think, the kala used to wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi edited the Mishnah in such a way there should be 24 chapters in Masech HaShabbos, like a kala. I couldn't visualize how could a kala wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So someone, Sfardish rabbi, told me this week that he says the Sfardim still do Arayim Azeh. They wear 9 bracelets on each arm. So there you get right away 18. I thought it was 10 rings on every finger and 10 rings on all the toes. I couldn't read my say. He says, no, they wear 15 bracelets, sure, 24 pieces. So the Gemara speaks there. So one whole perek is Rav Lezer de Milo. Most of the dinim are about Milo in general, and some of the dinim are Hilchos Shabbos. So in that perek, the Gemara has a din that when the moel is performing the Milo, he has to cut off Basa Chayfes Reva Torah. Rubat Kula is enough, and you go to the mitzvah even though he leaves a miut of the skin, covering the miut of the Torah. The Gemara says, out of noye mitzvah, the Gemara quotes this source. Zekel v'anveyos, not the fun of the mitzvah, says this is a chelik of noye mitzvah, you should do a nice, decent job, do a beautiful job. So why should he do a sloppy job, a surgeon? If you show us another surgeon, I'm going to show him here, he did a circumcision, what do you do? Such a terrible job. Why do you only cut off the right? You should have cut off. So, I'll be Allah Ruba Tukuloi. But if you ask someone to judge the work, he said, what kind of a lousy job is that? So, Noye Mitzvah requires that you should cut off Kol Ha'or. So, the question is, Noye Mitzvah. Fine, what if it's on Shabbos and Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos for the sake of the Mitzvah of Mila? What about for the sake of the Mitzvah of Noye Mitzvah? You're also allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Let's say the Moel already cut it. He cut off Basa Chayfes Reva Torah, and then he realizes there's more skin left. Should he continue to be Mechal Shabbos by causing more bleeding to cut off the miut? So the Gemara says yes. If Loi Silek Yoda, if he still Silek Yoda, the Mishnah Berurah says, means if he already put on the medication and the bandage and everything is all finished, then he's not allowed to take off the bandage in order to cut the miut, because the mila was kosher already. But because Manchu Loi Silek Yoda, if he didn't put on the bandage yet, then he should continue to cut the miut. So how can that be? How do you understand this din in the Gemara? The mitzvah of Noye Mitzvah is also Decha Shabbos. So they quote in the name of Rav Elbel HaSalavetchik that he thought that this Gemara and several other Gemara seem to indicate that the Indian of Noye Mitzvah is not that there are 613 mitzvahs, then there's a 614th mitzvah to do Noye Mitzvah. The Indian of Noye Mitzvah is part of every mitzvah. That Noye Mila becomes an Atzim Chelik of the Mitzvah of Mila. Noye Lula becomes a Chelik of the Mitzvah of Lula. The Gemara talks about Chatzitza. Let's say if a person is going to wear gloves and take the Lula in the Atzim, so there's a question of Shulchan Aruch if he's Yotzer. So the Ramah recommends you take off your rings and take off your gloves. You shouldn't have any Chatzitza. The question whether that's a Chumra or a Din. Some Rishonim even hold that it's a real Din. But you can't have the Chatzitza between your hand in the lulav when you bench Esther. So the Gemara raises a problem. If so, you can't have a chatzitza. We do it all the time. We have this little basket, the keshikol, that you put in the arovas and you put in the hadasim, and when you hold the lulav and the hadasim and the arovas, you're holding it with the chatzitza of the basket. The basket is not part of the mitzvah. So the Gemara says no. That since it's, the Gemara says, kolana also, since you have this basket to make it look prettier, to beautify the dalad minim, so it blends in to become part of the dalad minim, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So that's what he quoted these two gemaras, the gemara by the dalad minim that it doesn't constitute a chatzitza, and the gemara by the bris milah that you're allowed to be mechal shabbos. It would appear that it blends in to become part of the mitzvah itself. and therefore it's not a chatzitz, and therefore it's not a chilul Shabbos. It's considered a hemshach of the milah, and an extension of the mitzvah of dalad milah. This week I met a doctor. I met someone. I think I got the impression he's a doctor. Someone from Eretz Yisrael, and he tells me that. He tells me the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach the following. Let's say someone on Shabbos has a cut on his face, and if you don't treat the cut, the person can die from loss of blood. So it's a suffix akonis nefashis. So you have to rush to the hospital and have somebody sew up the cut. So there are two ways to sew up the cut. You can either sew up the cut with four big stitches, or you can sew it up with 25 tiny little stitches. The difference being that if I'll sew it up, if you get a plastic surgeon to do it with 25 tiny stitches, the face will look better. It will be a nice, much nicer job, and the person will not be walking around with a big gash in the face. But if you do just a sloppy job, you just do four big stitches, so you'll save the pikuach nefesh, will be taken care of, but you'll have a sloppy job. So he tells me that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as having said that it's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos more, to do the 25 stitches rather than to do the four stitches, the same as by the bris milah. Since it's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos to take care of the patient, so you have to do the most perfect job that you're able to do, just like the moil has to do the nicest job he can do, even though there's extra chilul Shabbos deraisa, he's permitted and obligated to do a better job. So here also the doctor is permitted and obligated to do the best job possible. So this fellow, I think, was a doctor. He tells me that he told this over to someone else, and the other person says, that can't be. Shlomo Zalman never say such a ridiculous thing. So he walked with him to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he said, yeah, that's what he passed. I don't know. Got it. That's an interesting insight based on this Gemara. That
applies only for the same doctor who's doing the actual book nefesh right before, in the same procedure of doing it. Like
within the same procedure, yeah.
So the person couldn't call in the specialist team and plastic surgeon from the other floor to come and work after he's been finished, right?
After he's all finished, he can't. Yeah. Yeah. The stomach, I guess so. So someone said this morning, so what if it's not a gash on the face, what if it's on the leg? It's going to be under the trousers also. If they show this to another gracious surgeon, why don't you do a sloppy job? Why don't you do a better job? So it's lobbed off on the face. I don't know. Interesting idea. The doctors should look up the din to find out what it is. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael that on Shabbos the man is not going to come down. Al yetzi ish memkoma b'yom ha'shvi. No one should go out. But you're not allowed to walk out of your house on Shabbos. What kind of? How to go to minyan? Al yetzi ish memkoma b'yom ha'shvi. So Rashi says al yetzi memkoma v'chelov liyado. When they went to collect the man, they would take pots and pans, and there was no erev. Why did he make an erev? That's the question. Okay, but there was no erev, so they weren't allowed to carry. So he says al yetzi ish memkoma b'yom ha'shvi. You can't be out. Not allowed to carry your pots and your pans. The Gemara quotes a different level of interpretation in the pasuk, a different interpretation. Question: which is the main level of that? Which is the pshut and which is the drasha? The Bakiva is of the opinion that chumen is deraisa. So the Gemara has another level of interpretation. Al yetzi ish mukami, not let it go too far from your home on Shabbos, even if you're not carrying any pots and pans, even if there's no issue of hoitzor, you're not let it go chutz l'chum. That's a machlokes hatanaim. Rabbi Kiva holds that chumen is deraisa, even alpay mama, even 1 mil is alpay mama is chumen deraisa. The Gemara says we don't accept Rabbi Kiva's opinion. That's out of the question. But maybe the Rambam and the Rit have a Yerushalmi at the end of the first Kerik and Erev. Maybe chumen yudbeis mil is deraisa. That's what the Yerushalmi raises a possibility. Maybe chumen yudbeis mil is deraisa. And the Mechaber quotes like that. In fact, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Yad HaChazok, it counts this as one of the mitzvahs I say. The 248 mitzvahs I say, and 365 mitzvahs lo yisese. So the Rambam has one mitzvah sese is lishbos min malacha b'yayim ha-shabbos, and then another mitzvah, a lo yisese, not to do malacha on Shabbos, and a lo yisese is al yetzi ish memkoma, not to go chutz l'tchum. The Rambam counts it is not for the malachas, you're not chayv koris, you're not chayv chatas, you're not chayv misa, but it's a separate issue not to go chutz l'tchum. And there are more pastors like the Balei HaTesis that all Tchumen is only the Rabban. Even Tchumen of Yud Beis Mil is only the Rabban, and there's no Tchumen deraisa. Within those who think that Tchumen is deraisa, the Gemara is not sure whether you should get Malkus or not. If one assumes that Tchumen is deraisa, based on this pasuk, Gal Yetzi Ishma, Vimkoma, Bayom HaShvi, should there be malchus or not? So the Gemara has a machlokes in there, in the end of the first paragraph. The Gemara has a machlokes in the Amaroyim. So the Gemara says, what's the issue involved, whether there's malchus? So the Gemara says, it's a question of lav hanitan li asaras nisus bezin. What do you mean, lav hanitan li asaras nisus bezin? On chumen, there's never any nisa. Chumen is not from the malchus. It's never going to be nisa. What do you mean, lav hanitan li asaras nisus bezin? What does that exactly mean? Lav hanitan li asaras nisus bezin like this. Let's say someone is machal Shabbos, and the witnesses know he's doing wrong, but he's a good friend of theirs, so they don't want to kill him. So they say, don't turn on the lights, so we're going to bring in a bezin and give you malchus. So he says, I don't care, give me all the malchus you want. I'm going to turn on the lights. Then they bring him to bezin. So bezin can't give misa. They didn't warn him that they're going to give misa. Would they give him malchus or not? Does it make sense to give malchus? So there's machloekes satanaim in the third parak in malchus. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. So we pass him that there's no malchus because the lap of Chil Shabbos normally leads up to Einish Misa. So you don't give a malchus on a violation of a lap that's supposed to lead up to misa. But Tesis asks that Chumen never leads up to Nisa. The violation of Chumen never has Nisa. So why does the Gemara consider this a lav hanitan la'asaras Nisa? That's not the same as Chil Shabbos or Avodah Zarah. So Tesis interprets an interesting interpretation. Tesis interprets that the machlokes in the Gemara is the Tane, Rebbe Akiva, the others who think Al Yetzi Ish Memkomo is really alluding to Chumen. Is that an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk? The pshuta shel mikra really means al yetzi ish mekamo v'kelav v'yodo. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. There was no erev. You're not allowed to carry chutz l'erev. So the pshuta shel mikra goes on carrying, and the additional level of interpretation, the Torah Shabbat gives another interpretation that it also alludes to chumen. So if it's an additional level of interpretation, then there's no malchus on that. That's called the lav shebichlovas. What is also included in the lav. You only get malchus on the pshuta shel mikra, but also is included because it's an additional level of interpretation, and that you don't get malchus. So Tesis interprets that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Should be assumed that the pshuta shel mikra al yetzi mishkama goes on chumen? That's the literal translation, or no? The literal translation, like Rashi says, it goes on carrying. This is an additional level of interpretation. There arises Torah Shebaal Peh, and on Torah Shebaal Peh there's no malchus. That's what Taisus himself refers to. They interpret the Gemara. That's called a lav shebichlolus. Shegamzer nichlov ba'alav. This too is included in the pasuk. When the pshuta shel mikra goes on one thing, and the Torah Shabbat Pes darshins that it also alludes to an additional thing, so that's what the Taisus himself quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz. They rarely quote him. Rav Lezer Mimitz. They quote him by name. That's what the term means. Lav shebichlolus ain't like malchus. What is also included? Shegamzer gamke nichlov ba'alav. So that's Torah Shabbat Peh, and that there's no malchus. So Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael they shouldn't al yetzish mekom al yetzish. They're not going to be any mon. They shouldn't go out. They shouldn't go out. So the pasuk says that on Shabbos there were some characters that went out. Bakasha. $2,000 amas. Rabbi Kiva holds our time amas there, I see. Yeah. That's what Rabbi Lezer Mimitz says. In Sochem Dav Chav Dalad Amnalev, quoted by Taisus and the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos also in Shoresh Tes. They learn lav shebichlolus doesn't mean if you have a pasuk that means 10 things, there's no malchus on anything. No, if you have a pasuk that means 10 things, which is the pshuta shel mikra, and which 9 are the additional levels of interpretation. So whichever is the pshuta shel mikra, you will get malchus for. The additional 9 are called also included. Gamke nichlal ba'alav. That's called lav shebichlolus. On the additional levels of interpretation, that's Torah Shabbat Peh, and that there's no malchus. That's the Rambam's pshat in the Sefer Mitzvos and the Reb Lezer Mimitz. So Tosfos in Erev, in the end of the first parak, interprets that that's what the issue is here in this Gemara, whether there's malchus on chumen. If one assumes that chumen is deraisa, would there be malchus on chumen or not? That's the issue. Which is the main pshat? Which is the literal translation? And which is the additional level of interpretation? Right? So the pasuk tells at the end of the story of the mon that on Shabbos there were several characters who walked out to try to collect mon and they didn't find any mon. So there's a famous medrash on this pasuk. that they wanted to, they were always giving Moshe Rabbeinu trouble, and they wanted to demonstrate that he's a faker, he's a liar, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So they planted them on there, they carried them on there on Friday night, and they put them on, and then they came out in the morning in order to collect them on that they had placed there, and lo and behold, the law matzo, they didn't find them on that they themselves had planted there. How come they didn't find them on if they planted it? So the Medrash says that the birds came and they ate up all the money. The birds were in favor of Moshe Rabbeinu. The birds wanted to support Moshe Rabbeinu to show that Moshe Emes was a Rasa Emes. So the birds ate up the money. So the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shabbos, quotes such a practice that on Shabbos B'Shalach, there used to be a meaning that people would leave food for the birds out of Hakoros HaToyv. We should pay our debt of gratitude to the birds. The birds wanted to show that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi Emes, that he wasn't telling a lie, so we should give them, and they ate up the mon that was left, so we should repay them by giving them a little nash on Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham writes that it's not a proper practice, because there is a din in the Gemara, you're not permitted to feed animals that are not mezonos seim halacha. If it's not your responsibility, so it's forbidden to feed the animals. If you leave before Shabbos, no problem. Yeah, no. But, no, before Shabbos, no problem. But if you put the food on Shabbos, then it'll be a problem. So the Magen Avraham thinks that it's not proper. He thinks that it's not a proper practice to put the food out on Shabbos. And other, I think, Hasidish Achrayinim defend this Semilik. Magen Avraham was before. Magen Avraham was from the 1600s. So some of the latest Svarim defend the practice, and they say it is Mezonos Seim Halacha. It is Mezonos Seim Halacha. All year long it's not, but on Shabbos B'Shalach we want to demonstrate our debt of gratitude towards the birds. So it's considered mitam minig, it's considered mezonos seim halacha, so they want to say it's okay, it's permissible. I don't know, what are the fish, what debt of gratitude do we owe to the fish?
Just as far as feeding the animals, on the animal.
No, no, it says you're not allowed to. It says the Maharil, they quote the Maharil, writes that some people by mistake think that they throw crumbs to the fish, and he says it's not right. That's what he writes. He said you're just supposed to open your pockets to demonstrate keely you're throwing out those who have the minig of tashlich, to demonstrate keely they're throwing out their sins. He says it's not right to throw food to the fish.
This is a
slightly
tangential issue. You mentioned about feeding animals.
Everything is tangential. Yeah. It's okay. Now, everything I said is tangential, not huh? Yes. The Orzarua had a son, Rabbi Yitzchak Orzarua, who had a son whose name was Rab Chaim Orzarua. So there's a small sefer collection of Shalosh Tshuvos, Marach Orzarua. So he quotes one of the Bali Atesis who said like that, that if you have a pet, it's like if you're Muslim Muktzah in advance, then you're permitted to handle it on Shabbos. Let's say those who want to throw stones at the automobiles have to be Muslim the stones in advance. Or the Moyal who wants to be Matmin the Or Ha'orlo in the offer has to be, Machaber writes from the Gunim, has to be Mazmin the offer in advance. Otherwise, his Muktzah is an Isitiltal Muktzah. So the Marach HaZarua quotes the, by name, he quotes one of the obscure Baliatas, not the Rabbi Natam and the Reed, not from the famous the names that we're familiar with. Somebody said that the pets are considered Muslim of Yom, and he thinks that he's wrong. He says the accepted opinion is not so. He says that there was exerid the rabbanon. So how can you be mazmin it? It's not like any other muktzah that it's muktzah because a piece of junk. So if you mazmin it, it's always junk. But over here, there's a special exerid emish tamshim abavichai. So how can you get around that exerid the rabbanon? So the exerid is still going to apply even if you're going to be mazmin it. So it's going to be muktzah because of the exerid the rabbanon emish tamshim abavichai. He claims that the consensus was that there's no way to get around that. The Pasuk says that when Bnei Yisrael were in Mora, this is a word from your advertised, from your sponsor. See, I belong to the parents' union, so there's a mitzvah of Tibet Av that if Hinktunta people are not so medactic these days. So every year on B'Shalach I say over Rabbi Yosef Tengel's word on the Pasuk. It says, when Bnei Yisrael were in Mora, Sham Sam Lachok HaMishpat Sham Nisohom. The Rebbe Shalom gave over some additional vinim. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that they had seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach before they came to Mora, and they were given several additional, three additional mitzvahs in Mora. It's a discussion what were the three additional mitzvahs. One of the three mitzvahs was kibud av v'aim. It's interesting, it's not counted as two mitzvahs. Counted as one. That's a discussion whether kibud av v'aim is one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. So the Achrayim say from this gemara would appear that it's counted as one mitzvah. How do you know kibud av v'aim is one of the mitzvahs that is given in Mora? Because it says on the Aseres Adibris. It says kabedos avich v'simecha kashet tzivisicha doesn't refer to the luchas v'shoyders. The text of Aschanan was proclaimed at Harsina. It wasn't the second time around, alluding back to the Luchas Hashem. It means Kashet Tzivisicha prior to Matan Torah, and the only place we find that we're given anything was the Mara, so it must be that that's what it's alluding to. Shom Sam Lachok HaMishpat refers to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. So how does this fit into the words? Where do you see in the words Chok HaMishpat that it's alluding to Kibud Av V'Aim? So Rabbi Yosef Engel lost his mother a long time ago. Yosef Engel died 80 years ago. So when his mother passed away, so he wanted to honor her, so he published the sefer in her memory that's called Shev Dinachemto, seven essays on Agadita. What were his other svarim? Most of his other svarim are all halacha, real serious halacha. And this is a drush sefer, Agadita. Each essay is a fascinating self-contained essay. So he has one essay where he speaks about the union of Kibud Av V'Aim. So he discusses the topic that's dealt with by the Achronim, by the Poskim, where the Kibud Av V'Aim is a mitzvah bin Adam Lachaveiro, that we owe a debt of gratitude to our parents. Or is it not really? It's a mitzvah bin Adam Lamakom, that the Gemara has an expression in the context of Kibud Av V'Aim, Shlosh Yishut from Yeshba Adam, Ovi Di'ima Bakarish Baruchu. And by honoring one's parents, one is indirectly demonstrating honor towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible, so how can we honor him? So by honoring the parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered as if you honor him. That's how the Gemara says in the city of Kibud Av V'Aim. So if you understand it like that, it sounds like Kibud Av V'Aim is really a mitzvah bin Adam Lamakam, not bin Adam Lamakam. And there are differences halacha l'maisa, whether it's not Minchas Chinuch has and others, Imam Shik has, others have nafkiminis l'halacha, whether you should consider it bin Adam Lamakam or bin Adam Lamakam. So Yosef Engel quotes the Gemara in the end of the first perik in Eretz that for I think 2.5 years there was a debate raging between the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, whether a philosophical debate whether Noach L'Adam Mishaloi Nivra Mishinivra or Noach L'Adam Mishinivra Mishaloi Nivra, is it better that man was brought into the world or better that man was not brought into the world? After 2.5 years of debating, the Gemara says they came to the conclusion Noach L'Adam Mishaloi Nivra, would have been better that man should not come into the world. Achshav Shenivra, under the circumstance, you got to make the best of it. So he tried to keep the mitzvahs and not to do any other. So Tosis has a comment on that Gemara. What do you mean, Noach L'Adam Shaloi Nivra Mishenivra? Better than man should not have been brought into the world. It depends who. Tosis says if he's a tzaddik, it's Tamachachem and Yerei Shemayim. Ashrei lo v'ashrei doro. It's his good fortune. It's the good fortune of the whole generation that the man was brought into the world and he did the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and he did wonderful things. So the Gemara is talking about an average person. The average person doesn't accomplish so much in his lifetime, so it would have been better off if he wouldn't have been born, because it's very easy to sin and it's not so easy to stay straight. So then the Gemara says, Noach L'Adam Shaloi Nivra. After Shenivra, watch out, don't try to control yourself not to do too many avim. So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes something along these lines. He says, Kibud Av V'Aim is a mitzvah bin Adam L'Chaveiro. We owe a debt of gratitude to our parents. We should sue them in court. What did they bring us into this mess? Can't be mit Adam L'Chaveiro. We don't owe them any debt of gratitude. Unless the child is a tzaddik, the Tosef says, Ashrei lo, Ashrei doro. So then we owe the parents a debt of gratitude. So he says, the nature of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim changes depending on the nature of the child. If the child is a tzaddik, so then he owes a debt of gratitude to the parents. So then it's really mishpat. Then the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim is bein adam l'chaveiro. It's like yeila mishpat and mishatasim lefnei. But if the child is just nobody special, just an adam beinoni, then the nature of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim is going to be really a chok. It's not going to be a mishpat. So that's what the pasuk says, Shom in Mora, Som lo chok a mishpat. The Rebbe Shom gave us a mitzvah that sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat, depending on us. If we will be tzaddikim, so then the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah will be a mishpat. We owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. They brought us into the world. They gave us an opportunity to become something special. And if we will be nobody special, then it will have to be a chok. Then it will remain only a chok. But the din is still noig bizman hazeh. All the poskim assume. The din of Kibud Av V'Aim still even applies bizman hazeh, even in the 21st century. The din deraisif and aseres adibreis. Whether it's Ahin or Ahet, whether it's Ben Adam Lamach, Ben Adam Lachaveiro. The Gemara says it's a difficult mitzvah to observe. That All the Tanaim and all the Amoraim say it's very difficult. Everyone found it difficult. Abayi was the orphan at birth. His father died before he was born, and his mother died when he was born, and he was raised by others. And he says how fortunate he was that he didn't have any sign and didn't have the difficulty of observing this mitzvah. It's so difficult to observe. So those who are blessed not to be orphaned, those who still have parents, should try to fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah gives such a reward that's promised. The Torah usually doesn't promise rewards. The Torah only has in rare instances. The Torah promises Arichas Yamin by Kibud Av V'Aim in the Torah Sadibus. It's really a mitzvah that has to be fulfilled. Kibud Av V'Aim means to service the parents. It's a mitzvah of Kibud and a mitzvah of Mora. Mitzvah of Kibud is to give service to the parents, to be Mahana the parents. Out of the parents, if the father needs a ride, so you give a ride. The father needs someone to call on a telephone to make some arrangements or something. Or if the parents have ano when the children are home, so the children should be home. A lot of times in the middle of the week, everybody's running around. And Shabbos and Yom Tov, everybody sits around the table. So the parents have ano when the children are there. So the children should be mahana the parents. So let's say the children get married and they live in Eretz Yisrael. So they should call on the phone once in a while. Or they should send a letter, or send a photograph, a visit, whatever. They should try to be mahana the parents to the best of their ability. That's what the mitzvah of kibud means, to give service in a sense of giving pleasure to their parents. And mora means respect. What we usually translate kibud, kabed asadich v'asimecha, to give honor and respect, that's really the mitzvah of mora. The mitzvah of kibud just means to give service to the parents, to be mahana the parents. And the mitzvah of mora is to give respect to the parents. The Gemara says that if a child is mahana the parents, but he doesn't do it with a smile, so then the Gemara says that he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kibud either. The Gemara has an expression, the Gemara quotes a braisa in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak. And you can have a person who's feeding his parents pheasant, he feeds his parents expensive delicacies, and he's going to go straight to Gehenna, and he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kibud aviyem. Kibud aviyem has to be with a smile. Has to be with the right attitude also. So there is clearly a relationship between the kibbutz and the mora, but the two distinct mitzvahs. The kibbutz is to give service and hanoah to the parents within reason, fashteitza, within reason. And the mora means to show respect to the parents. Okay.